Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's locked, cocked, ready to rock.
Here's White, no one picks him up. He got it on a three. DeRozan didn't take the three. Great breakdown from White. Green. Gorgeous possession and reloads it out. White zigzags and cups it home. White swims in and finishes. Kobe White has been moving at a different gear than everybody else. White into the lane, cups it in, and Kobe White is just cutting them up. White will fire. You bet. 40.9 for Kobe White.
Great broadcast last night on ESPN. Bulls win. They got off to a quick start. And even though Atlanta came back a couple of different times in the end in that fourth quarter, it wasn't in doubt. And from the start on ESPN, that crowd was juiced up. I had wondered out loud a couple of weeks ago, would people care? Would people show up? And you were convinced, yes, they would. I was wondering if it would even be a sellout. And, boy, you were right on the ball on that one.
You can count on Bulls fans to show out. You can't always count on the organization to do everything that you would hope that they would do. But the fans, like, this fan base is crazy dedicated. Crazy dedicated. And they were treated to a really good performance against a Hawks team that's 10 games under 500, had lost six in a row coming in and gives up 121 points per game. But look, there were a lot of good things that occurred, and the fans were, giving a show.
They were chanting Kobe, Kobe at the end of the game while he was shooting free throws.
Rightfully so. He had 42.
It was great to see, yeah. And
I don't know how to, I mean, like, I enjoyed it.
All right, well, let me give you the four options that I just tweeted out. You don't know how to feel? Is that what you were just thinking?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
I'm between two, okay? I'm between two of these answers. I said, how do you describe how you felt about last night's Bulls win? And then we'll get to Tyler, who went to all three games in town, all three Jerry Reinsdorf games. He went to the two White Sox games, and then he attended the Bulls game. And he'll give us, like, sort of his observations on everything. So how do you describe how you felt about last night's Bulls win? And you can weigh in at 312-332-3776. A, it was awesome. How do you complain about a resounding win like that? Maybe not, quote, the postseason. Almost the postseason, right? Those stats don't count. It's still the play-in. You're not in the playoffs yet. But still, how do you rage against a double-digit win in that environment?
Can't.
B, it's a fun one-night stand. Like, for what it was fun.
It was entertaining.
Yeah. C, I'm not fooled. They're going nowhere. Or D, the Bulls played last night.
I'm going with B. Like, I feel C as well, but I'm going with B. Like, I was entertained. I wish it tipped a little earlier because I'm an old guy, and it didn't end till, you could argue that it was over. I mean, it was over, halfway through, the third quarter. But I mean, I was entertained. Kobe White had a fantastic performance. Io was very, very good. DeMar came out and played well. I mean, there were so many things to be entertained by. I'm not fooled, though. I'm not, now all of a sudden filled with this great expectation that this is going to get them somewhere that I didn't feel they were going to go before they beat a bad Hawks team.
That's why
I was entertained.
I'm between the two. I'm between B and C. Yeah. Because, like, I'm not going to just sit there during that game and rage.
No.
I like, it's basketball. I'm going to enjoy the performance that DeMar and Kobe gave. And Vooch played well last night.
Io did as well. Right. Io shot the ball well.
But I'm not going to also lie to myself and think, oh, I'm going to get all lathered up and see Red Nation and that this is the elixir to what, because that's what ownership and management wants you to believe.
Yes.
They want you to say, oh, see, you see this crowd. Like, when I heard that playoff crowd, When I heard that roar on Madison last night, it reminded me of some of those warm nights that I used to attend Bulls games. And maybe this is where Tyler's going. And it made me more sad than happy. Because I said to myself, if this is what a fake play-in game is going to bring, and this is the way the crowd's going to react. And I don't blame the crowd.
Not
I'm not one of these guys who's ever, and we've always made this known, I'm never going to blame the fan and say, shame on you for attending. You should have sent a message. No, if this is what you want to do for entertainment, because you guys are starving.
Yeah,
we're starving for good basketball. Chicago, no matter what people want to tell you, Chicago is a basketball town. This town is starving for postseason basketball. We want to love our basketball team in town. So the fan base showed up. The fan base was into it. Richard Jefferson, a couple of different times, referenced it on the broadcast, saying there really is nothing like an engaged Chicago basketball crowd. This is a guy who's played all over. This is a guy who broadcasts all over.
Oh, yeah.
And he made it a point to say a Chicago postseason crowd is different than most places you go to. And to me, I said, it's just a shame that we're only getting really one of these games, you know, and maybe they play the Celtics because of Jimmy. But there should be rounds of these happening in town and a real shot of winning a championship. And there hasn't been for years and years and years because we're starving for this. And it's just, it's fake in the moment. And I was thinking about Zach, and I was thinking, where is Zach LaVine? And the albatross that is Zach LaVine's contract. So while I was having fun in the moment, mm-hmm. I was also thinking about where the hell this team really goes in the future to get out of this play in hell.
The sad reality is the fan base has remained dedicated to the cause. And unfortunately, you don't get the feeling that it's being reciprocated by the organization at times. What has it been, 30 months since they made a trade?
Right.
They just felt the continuity and better health was going to equate to more success. In fact, they found themselves with more injuries. That's what happens in professional sports. You're going to have to deal with some injuries. So, like, I have no doubt that Bulls fans would remain dedicated to the cause, even though there hasn't been a ton to be over the top excited about. It's just, this was my concern when we you know, Wilbon and I were joking and arguing and getting, you know, obstinate with each other. To me, my fear is this will build an excuse for the front office to remain status quo. Look at that building. That building was rocking, and they put it on the Hawks. Okay, it was fun. I'm glad the fans were there showing out. You beat a Hawks team that was 10 games under 500, lost 6 games in a row coming into this game, and was giving up 121 points per game. They couldn't stop a fart. Haven't been able to all season long. I'm not going to diminish what they did, but I'm not going to believe that that is going to equate to something grand. And my concern is that when you have moments like that, even in brief interludes, that it just creates this facade, or it creates this excuse for them that, see, we're really close. We really don't need to do much here. We just got to get a couple of guys healthy and allow guys to continue to develop. And I'm just not one that believes that that is your path back to greatness.
Yeah, guys, what do you expect? We were missing Zach LaVine for most of the year. We were getting used to everybody. Guys, look at how far Kobe has developed. We got our development program up and running now. Look how far Io has developed. Just when, what's his name? It was starting to develop the fourth overall pick. Pat Williams was starting to break through. He goes down with a big injury. That really hurt our depth. Lonzo's been out for now 2+ years. Guys, like, we're getting somewhere. Give us some more time, you know?
Yeah, and I just can't at this moment. I can enjoy what I saw last night. I can't hang my hat on it.
That's what they're going to say.
That's my concern. Right. That was my concern with Wilbon, that you're going to beat a bad Hawks team and it's going to create this excuse for remaining status quo.
Right.
And I just think that the fan base, as you've seen how dedicated and excited that they are, they deserve more.
Yeah. So, Tyler, I enjoyed your tweets. Tyler went on. What did you call it?
I called it the sell the team equinox yesterday.
They're very clever.
It was the doubleheader of White Sox and into Bulls. And it's funny how the whole schedule sort of worked itself out so that this would work, too. Very rarely can you go to three professional events in one day.
You're right, because you had the 1:10 start, and it was in a day-night doubleheader.
Straight doubleheader.
You go straight through, and then you had a late basketball game, so that game was never threatened.
Usually you can get maybe, what, a football game and a basketball game in?
Or maybe a baseball game.
Or a baseball game. But you can't get all of them.
Right. And that's why I wanted to do it, because I thought to myself, you know, there's probably never really going to be an opportunity where this could happen again. So I said to myself, all right, not only am I going to go, I made two rules for myself.
Okay.
I'm going to go, and I have to stay for the whole time. The only way I could leave a game early is if the end of the White Sox game was threatening tip off of the Bulls game. It's the only way I could leave early. But I couldn't leave early from the Bulls, couldn't leave early from the first game of the Sox. I had to stick through the whole thing. The other thing, too, if there were any sort of handouts or freebies, all that money had to go into a 50-50 raffle ticket.
So, and Waddle offered to your trip?
He offered to put me on scholarship for the Bulls game, yes.
I did, because he knew his White Sox tickets were going to be freebies.
He called me in the morning, said, hey, let me buy your Bulls tickets. And I said, no, Waddle. I'm not letting you fund my idiocy. This is a journey that I'm going to go on, and I'm going to bear the burden of all costs.
What did you get the Bulls tickets for then?
It was 110 per.
110 per. Yeah. Where'd you sit?
We were in 213.
Those are great.
So like, yeah,
200 level for Hawks and Bulls are both fantastic.
It's kind of a cheat code too, because it is a smaller.
Yes.
Section, you can't get in it unless you have a ticket to it. So lines are shorter across the board. You've got like a waiter that can bring you stuff too if you don't want to get up and all that. The lines for the bathroom are always shorter. It is a cheat code.
Right. Sold out? Was the Bulls game sold out?
Not only was it sold out, everyone was in their seats before the starting lineups.
That's what Bulls fans are. They're educated and excited.
It was full, and it was full from the start.
And loud. It sounded loud. Was it loud in person? Because it sounded loud on television.
So, all right. I wasn't old enough to go to any of the Jordan playoff games, but I went to quite a few during the Derrick Rose era. It was that loud.
Really?
And that is why, like, you brought up how I felt a little bit sad walking out. I was like, that's what this city's supposed to be for basketball, except this game meant nothing in the grand scheme of things. I mean, it effectively was a hospice game. You know you're about to go get slaughtered by the Celtics if you do win.
Hospice game.
So you go out there, and it was this great atmosphere, and it's like, we should be getting this for two or three rounds at least.
Yes.
Every single year in this city. That's how much the city loves their basketball. And it made me reminisce to the days of going to the United Center with my mom or my dad for the Derrick Rose-led Bulls teams during the early 2010s, and it's like, this is what basketball in this city is supposed to be, and it's just not there anymore, because this, at the end of the day, was a meaningless game. But the fans got up for it, and I applaud the fans for getting up for it.
Like, I don't blame fans for being excited or being into that. I'm never going to, we want that, and I know I heard a caller today say, like, that the media should have done a better job of educating fans to stay away. Someone called Cap'n Jay Hood and said that.
What? Who are you to tell somebody else how to use their disposable income?
Right.
Like, who are you to tell someone how to, you know, try to make a son or a daughter, you know, a happy child? This is what they want to go do. If you want to go to a game. Like, it's not up to me or to you or to any of the fans to change the mind of the billionaire owner. It's up to him.
Yes.
Now, if you want to stay away.
And that shouldn't have to happen either. No. That's the sad part.
You do whatever it is you want to do, but I'm not going to yell at it either decision. You want to stay away because you don't want to give them your money because you don't feel like they've put in a good faith effort to be the best that they can be? Fine. You want to take your family to a game and go and cheer your head off and your kids, watch your kids enjoy it, have a great time. I'm sure your boys love watching the Bulls play, regardless of how they play.
Totally into it.
So, like, I think it's silly to get mad at people going to games and spending their money on tickets to do something they want to do just because you think everyone should be penalizing the owner.
Like I said, I grew up, and as a child, during some of the worst times as a Cub fan and as a Bulls fan. And it only fueled my love for sports. So why would I ever, even when our teams stink, tell families and tell parents and tell others to stay away from games when this was the exact, these were the teams, like the Cubs of the 70s, the Kingman and Mercer and Buckner Cubs, and the Bulls teams well before Michael Jordan with David Greenwood and Mark Landsberger and John Mengelt, you know, and Reggie Theus, you know, into Kyle Macy. Why would I ever tell these people to stay away? Orlando Woolridge. That's how I gained my love for the sport. Even though they were bad, I went to with 5,000 people to the Chicago Stadium. But it, you know what it did? It fueled my love for sports.
Absolutely.
So stay away. Like, enjoy.
I just wish that the organization would have put a consistent product on the floor that was worthy. Not the players' effort, because I think they play hard. And I think you have seen some improvement. And how can you not like what you saw from Coby White and what you consistently see from DeMar DeRozan from the effort perspective? I just wish the team would put the same effort as an organization into trying to win the way that the fan base continues
right.
to dedicate themselves to supporting the team.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
What were some of your big observations or big takeaways from either on the South Side or the Bulls game, Tyler?
All right, so at the White Sox game, no one was there. No one. I mean, there was maybe 1,000 people at the first game, and then that number dwindled down to maybe 300 by the second game. It was empty. It was just, they funneled all the fans into the lower bowl. So there was nobody sitting in the upper deck.
So
nobody.
It was
closed.
And I saw Brian Hanley tweet about this.
Yeah.
Because when I was, again, during some of these bad Cubs teams of my 70s, of my childhood, the Cubs used to close the upper deck. They used to have a rope for the ramp for the upper deck, and they would only allow people to sit in the lower deck. So there were no one was allowed to go up to the upper deck.
Well, it's also a cost-effective way to do business, because that way you don't have to then have people manning the concession booths on the upper level. So you bring everything down, and then that way, if you want a hot dog or you want a beverage, you can only buy it on the one level, you know. So it lowers the number of workers that are necessary to be there for a baseball game. So you can sit there and say, well, this is pretty cool. The team's allowing me to go down to lower level for a better seat. What they're trying to do is save money, too.
Right. And I heard like
it's what they're trying to do.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I heard some people that were sitting around me, too. They were like, oh, like we've never like sat this close at a baseball. Because they were not just funneling you to like, oh, go to the 20th row, go to the 25th. No, they were saying like, go row one. Like, go row three.
Sit as close as you want.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that was cool, then.
So, yeah, it was cool. Like, if you wanted to have a great seat at a baseball game, that was an awesome time for you.
So how much was the actually, at the end of the day, was the 50-50 raffle?
It was around, like, 3,000. And that was, they took 50-50 raffle for both games and blend the pot into one, which is, I think, pretty standard for a straight doubleheader. But, like, I've been to a Cubs straight doubleheader where it's over $100,000. And it just shows you how few people, because I think, like, you, I don't know what the posted attendance was, but that's all obviously not the best way to indicate the amount of people in the stands. I think the 50-50 raffle is actually the best indicator of how many people are in the stands.
And it's the lowest you've ever seen it at a professional sports game?
I would guess so. I mean, not that I take a mental note every single time, but this one certainly stuck out to me as, like, not only was it a low number, but it was a low number for two games.
Did you have a good time? Or did you feel like you were at work?
So, I will say, had the milkshake. The milkshake
spectacular
has lived up to every single bit of hype that it gets. It is amazing.
Now, why is that? I mean, like, you can get a milkshake at many different places, at diners. Mm-hmm. They have these fancy milkshake places now. You can get a good milkshake at a DQ. There are many places you could get a milkshake. Is it because you're having a milkshake at a baseball game? Are they doing something with this milkshake? Why is this milkshake getting so much publicity?
Now, I will say this. And who isn't? But, like, you have to like s'mores for this.
Well, who doesn't like s'mores?
Exactly. And it's something like the whipped cream almost feels like it's very marshmallowy to it. Like, everything about it, like, it feels like you're sitting around a campfire with this thing. That's what, hence the name, the Campfire Milkshake. So that lived up
to... Can you consume it with just a straw? Do you have to have a plastic spoon? I mean,
I just used a straw, okay. And I was fine with just the straw.
How long did it take you to down it?
It probably took me about 2 innings. Like, it's a
two-inning milkshake.
It's a big milkshake. Like, it's...
Did you think about adding alcohol to it at any point?
No, I did not.
Can you do that?
I don't know. I mean, you could kind of
brought your own little, you know, 1 ounce bottle of vodka
or
something.
Shooter. Yeah.
What would it do to? Do you think it would ruin the taste?
It wouldn't be vodka. You wouldn't want vodka in a milkshake. Rum.
Yeah, like a rum
or a
whiskey, maybe.
What do you call
Kahlua?
Yeah, like a Kahlua
or maybe or even Bailey's. Yeah. Chocolate liqueur of some sort.
Yeah, something like that would maybe go
Goldschlager in that thing.
Yeah, because like they have stands, like their lemonade stands there have the option to add vodka to them. So I'm sure you could. And the way that it's set up, it's where the only place you can get the milkshake is in this part called, it's called the Vizzy Viewing Bar, I believe it's called. It's out in the left field corner.
How long's the line? Well, not yesterday, but normally.
I don't know how long the line usually is, but they sell out. It's in an area where there is a bar. Like a full service bar in there. It's kind of like for yesterday's purposes where it was a doubleheader. I needed to charge my phone. I went in there and charged my phone in there.
I'm telling you, they should hire you and I for marketing.
Yes,
advertising.
For sure.
You're going to the food and the experience. You go in there for dinner.
For that.
Go for dinner.
And there's a sideshow.
There's right.
It's
a dinner theater.
Game. Yeah.
And go for dinner. Food's fantastic.
Yeah. Come for dinner. Maybe stay for some baseball. Yeah. You don't have to stay for the whole thing.
We're going to tell you how good it is.
Stay until they blow the game.
Yes, because if you put the emphasis on watching good baseball, you're going to be disappointed. If you put the emphasis on having a good meal, you're going to be excited.
Yes, yes.
And then the baseball,
great.
The baseball lets you down. Then so what? Your priority is a good meal.
They're marketing it backwards. And then they shut down, though, alcohol in game 2 in the 5th inning, you told me.
Yeah, so I'm walking up. I'm like, all right, I can get one more beer before I get on out of here. And I'm going up to a stand, and the guy is, like, about to crack it. And then his manager comes flying in and goes, no, we have to stop at the 5th inning. We have to stop. And I'm just like, this guy was guns a-blazing in to stop this thing from happening. So I was like, all right.
Is that a normal doubleheader rule?
I don't know.
That may be a rule that if you break the rule, you could, you know, be subject to some sort of fine.
Now, I will say,
if the after fifth inning alcohol police are in the building.
By the way, it was 5:30 in the evening for last call.
Right. So the other thing about that,
strange things happen in that building sometimes, as
was
you know,
that
last year.
If you were walking around the concourse, you know how at Guaranteed Rate Field, there's two types of concession stands. There's the ones that are, if you're walking down the concourse, there's the ones that are closer to the seats that are more like kiosk or stands.
Sure.
And then there's like the traditional concession stands. All of the ones that were kiosky sort of shut down.
They
were all closing. Like, they all had their books out and were like closing up shop for the day. You could tell. But this guy, like, I asked him, like, hey, are you guys still open? He's like, yeah, what do you need? Blah, blah, blah. And then they put the kibosh on that. So I couldn't get that last beer there in the 5th inning. And it kind of got to that point. I'm like, oh, this is going to be tough to kind of muscle out the last 4 innings of this game now.
Can't you go inside one of the
that bar, the Vizzy bar.
Yeah, and you don't want they serve?
I didn't try. I probably could have tried.
Yeah,
but
you didn't work hard enough.
That's a rookie
enough.
Move. Yeah,
maybe it was a rookie move. Yeah. Rookie move.
You went there for the milkshake, but you didn't go for that final beer?
That was the 3rd inning of the first game.
Okay.
I don't know. I just didn't, because where I was sitting, I was behind the play. I was like, do I want to?
You didn't want it bad enough.
I didn't want it bad enough.
Well,
really
he also said the milkshake made him a little sleepy.
Yeah, the milkshake does knock you out a little bit.
Took something out of him.
That's weird. I'm like, what are they putting in it?
Now, it may have been the fact that by the time I had finished the milkshake, I had also downed two dogs and a beer as well. So, like, it could have been just the culmination of all those foods brewing in my stomach at that point.
Or the Sox baseball.
Or, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. The game sucked. Like,
well, that's a guarantee.
4-2 and 2-1.
Yeah, that's a guarantee.
It was awful.
Competitive.
Competitive, sure, but like it wasn't
two
like
good rookie outings.
Now I will say the first game had a little bit more because there were I think three home runs in it, and the Royals did come back. So I guess the first game was entertaining, but the second game was just atrocious baseball.
You know how we used to kind of market ourselves as we may not be very good, but we give away great stuff. Like on the South Side, seriously, especially if you're time conscious, the baseball may not be very good, but they're going to suck quickly. Like, you could get in and out of a straight-through doubleheader in 5 hours.
All right, so they should market the games and say, hey, come for the food, stay for maybe some baseball. Or you could say, we may not be very good, but we're going to suck quickly. Those are the two marketing slogans we're coming up
with. They have to be at the top of Major League Baseball's list of fastest games played consistently, right? Because there's never a base runner.
Well, that first game flew.
By the way, Pedro Grifol did clarify about the optional stretching. Later, we got to get to that. He did give words to that yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. 312-332-3776. So getting back to the Bulls game. Did you allow yourself to enjoy the game, or did you sit there and did you rage through the Bulls going nowhere? What was your main takeaway last night watching the Bulls game? And now I think they're going to beat Miami. Jimmy's going to miss the game. Alex Caruso's probably going to miss the game, too. In the most Bulls-esque injury ever, we got to get into that. But, like, how do you feel about what you saw last night from the Bulls? Barstool Big Cat will join us in studio in a half hour from now.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's good to hear a Chicago crowd buzzing at this time of year.
That's right. That was last night on ESPN. I thought the crowd was outstanding. It's just a shame that they built a team that's 4-under, and really for the second year in a row, that's the case. They had that one half year that was decent. They won one playoff game a couple of years ago against the Bucks. It's been years since the Bulls won a playoff series.
How long's it been again since?
It was the year they went to the second round and lost to Cleveland. They beat Milwaukee. I think they beat Milwaukee with a young Giannis. And then they were up 2-1 against Cleveland. It was Jimmy and Derek and Joakim.
God, it was a lifetime ago.
Remember when Kyrie got hurt in that series? They had a chance to win that series. They're up 2-1. And then Derek hit that buzzer beater, kind of like that rising bank buzzer beater for three. Do you remember that shot? You're looking at me with a blank. You don't remember it.
No.
And he was kind of had that blank stare on his
face. I got to start. Me or Derek?
Derek.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of like the same look that you have on your face right now.
I got to start doing crossword puzzles or something to get my brain.
No, but you have a good memory otherwise.
For stupid stuff.
And then it was a really weird game four, I want to say, where some things went against the Bulls. Like a lot of people blame like a timeout that was called by the Cleveland coach.
A photographic sports memory?
No, because like I couldn't recall Patrick Williams' name in the last segment.
Yeah, but that's different. That's just a name. But I'm talking memories of games and stuff.
You just remember like where you were and things like that. And then they just wilted. I remember that game six of that series, the Bulls quit. Remember? Did that. You remember that one.
Yes.
They quit. It was your turn, my turn to just screw up.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Derek. And
everyone was mad at each other.
Yes. And it's like it was completely disconnected.
Yeah.
And then it was basically the end of the Tibbs era. And then they tried one more time, I think, by bringing Fred in with that team. And then that didn't work. And then they went down the rebuild road. The rebuild road then was blown up after they brought in this new management team, and they had the one half year. And that's it. And, you know, in people are weighing in this way on the poll question. How did you describe last night's Bulls win? 37.8% of the voters, of about 1,000 voters so far, said it was a fun one-night stand.
Yeah.
31.4% of the voters saying, not fooled, they're going nowhere. 16.4% of the voters saying it was awesome. And 14.4% of the voters say the Bulls played. So you can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. Bongwater, Chad, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chad?
Shalom, gentlemen. I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon.
You as well?
Yes.
So I was very into the game last night. It was exciting. Watching Kobe go off like that for, 42 was amazing. That being said, this Bulls team reminds me of that old man in the commercial with the fishing rod and the dollar, that you just got to be a little quicker, a little quicker. All this is going to do for Jerry is he's going to look at all of us and say, see, I told you, especially when they beat the Heat, because they will beat the Heat. And he's a playoff team, and the house is packed. Now, I would never tell anyone not to go to a game or to take your family or go enjoy a game. That's just ridiculous. But the fact that we are going to sit in this mediocre spot and he's happy with a play-in team really bothers me. And what I'm more scared about than that is Kobe has been the shining star of this entire season. Watching his development has been fantastic. I am really worried that when Zach comes back, he's going to go back under that thumb. Zach's going to start hogging the ball again, wanting the spotlight, especially coming off an injury, having something to prove. And if Kobe goes on a downward trajectory because of Zach, then we won't even be a play-in team anymore.
I don't think they're letting him back near the team next year. I think they're going to, in the offseason, just take the best thing they can get for Zach. I think it's over. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would have put money down that that won't be a problem because I don't believe Zach will be part of the situation. Did anybody, like, you watched that game last night. I'm nothing against Zach. I'm sure he's a wonderful young man, but he just doesn't have a history of being part of a winning organization. And as your highest paid player, he's got to be leading the way. And just, he never made the progress on that front that I think the both of us had expected him to make. At no time did I look at last night's game, watch last night's game, and say, oh, you know what I need to see? I wish Zach was out there.
Right, or I miss Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Last year, if you remember, though, in the play-in game, in the win against their win against Toronto in the first game, Zach did have 39 and led the way. So Kobe at 42. Like, I believe that he may not be as explosive as Zach LaVine, Kobe White, and maybe he's not as talented as Zach LaVine, but I believe he's a better winning version for this team than Zach LaVine is.
What did Zach have the next game against the Heat?
15. He had fifth. And so this is a good test, too, for Kobe. Like, what will you do
in class? Yes. I mean, listen, playing the Heat, even without Jimmy, is a different animal than playing against the Atlanta Hawks, who, as we said, were 10 games below 500. Defensively, were a non-factor. They give up 121 points per game this year.
And, like, I think it's another, like, a lot of the Zach fans reminded me of Justin Fields fans, where they would always make excuses for the player instead of saying, hey, sometimes you got to look in the mirror.
A fan of the player versus being a fan of the team.
Right, right. Or even like when he was at fault, saying, hey, he could have been better. Often we would get calls saying, DeMar was the reason why Zach couldn't live up to his potential. Well, what do you say now when Kobe White has completely matured in front of your eyes? I would say DeMar has fueled that. DeMar has been one of the reasons for that. DeMar's been on the court, and he has helped with all of that growth and hasn't taken away from that. All I heard was Zach couldn't be who he was because of DeMar, because the ball would stop with DeMar. DeMar sure seems like he shares the ball well.
He does, and the Hawks made it a point after DeMar came out and scored like 11 quick. They started throwing guys at him, which meant that somebody else was going to have to take on a larger role, and that guy was Kobe.
Right, and then Vooch did it too.
Yeah.
See Red Fred, you're on ESPN 1000. You've been waiting for this.
Man.
Oh, boy.
You've been in the witness protection program for 2 months.
Hey, well, I'm out now, and I'm out with a flag flying high because I tell you what, I can't believe what I'm hearing here. Like, Kobe and Io, they're the best under 24 backcourt in the NBA. They're under contract for the next 3 years for a combined $21 million. And all I hear is, like, there's no hope. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, these two guys alone have progressed incredibly well this season, and we're all going to just, like, ignore the Bulls. I mean, that's what we want to do because they're the redheaded stepchild of Chicago sports teams. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. I don't understand what they have to do to prove and get the city excited about, hey, you know what? Our young guys really took a massive step. Yeah, it sucks that Zach was hurt, Williams was hurt, Vooch is you know, declining. But these two guys alone, like, I just can't even believe this apathy. You know what? It reminds me of 2009. 2009, if you go back to that year in March, April, all you heard was apathy about the Bulls. They're not going anywhere. Our young guys aren't progressing. Next thing you know, one Celtics versus eight Bulls, seven-game series. We scare the heck out of them. 2 years later, we're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
This is,
I think history's going to repeat itself. Puck
with Tawny Fred pops his head up every now and again, especially after something decent happens, and then tries to sell us hope again. And if in fact they go, if in fact they go to Miami and they get beat,
Puxatani Fred. But Phil Puxatani, Phil's been right more than Puxatani Fred.
No question. Yes.
And by simply looking in his shadow.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, every now and again, he'll pop his head out and try to sell his hope.
Well, it's a good time to pop up with Kobe putting up 42. Don't you think so? Isn't this the time to talk? Hey, I call too when things don't go well. Listen, if they lose on Friday, I'm calling you on Monday, and you can tell me I'm a moron. But until then, let's get on this bus, because I got great 17 more to go before 7. You know what I'm saying? 17 more wins.
I will bet you whatever you want that they will not have 17 more wins from here to the end of the season.
Probably true, but I don't
probably
understand
true.
I'll give you the long-term bet of they will not win 17 postseason games till 2027.
Let's have a bet right now. Yeah, I'll buy a pizza for the office. I'll write this down. And if they do have 17 postseason wins, I come in and host the show all day.
Yeah,
you guys have to listen to me.
And I get a dinner for my wife and me anywhere we want to go on you.
I don't know about anywhere.
There's a long-term bet.
$250 limitation.
$250 limitation.
That's just his bar bill.
Yeah, round rounder. We'll go to Ponderosa, something like that.
Okay, it's a deal. They're not winning 17 postseason games anytime soon. Like, do you know how many
games? You're putting a limit on Kobe. Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm putting a limit on this team and this management group and to win series, a playoff series.
I'm going to throw the Bears in here as a word of warning. 2 years ago, all I heard all summer, everybody patting me on the back. How about those Bulls? What a great job back we did. You get DeRozan in, you sign Zoe. 2 years later, they're the joke of the city. Like, I'm a Bears fan too, but I'm the exact opposite way with that team, where I feel negative about stuff.
They won one playoff game. They've won one playoff game. It's a series means a win. One playoff game when they were trying to win. The Bears have been trying to rebuild. The Bulls have won one playoff game under Acme.
Sylvie, until the Bears take care of that offensive line, we're not winning anything. They gave nothing to Fields for 3 years. They were bottom half according to every rated system. And do you feel
I don't
good
believe
about
that's true. I think actually the offensive line graded better than most people thought.
They were 19th, according to most the polls that I saw. 19th. They were in the back half for Justin Fields. And you feel great about our left tackle, our center?
No, I don't feel bad. Nobody is trying to sell you on Braxton Jones being the second coming of, you know, whoever else, Trent Williams, the way that you're trying to sell us.
Where the Bears are going. We're not going anywhere unless we get the offensive line fixed.
Okay.
Period.
You're not going anywhere as a Bulls fan either until that front office decides that they're going to make some improvements.
Kobe and Io at $20 million combined is a great start. That's my point. Like, we should be as positive about that backcourt. But we're not. Why? Like, why are we so down on the Bulls?
Here's why, really quick. Because Zach LaVine is still on the books. And when you trade him, you're going to get him for pennies on the dollar. Vooch is still on the books for a couple of more years for $20 million a year. And he's only getting older, and he's going to get less effective. You're going to have to re-sign DeMar DeRozan, or you're going to get no one else. Like,
you call Golden State, you do a sign-and-trade for Klay Thompson, you sign him to a one-year deal with options on two and year three, and you trade for him straight up. Then you're off the long-term deal.
Fred, we got to go. We got to go. All right, Fred, thanks.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
We're back. The Bulls are back.
He's nuts. I love
his enthusiasm, and I like him as a guy.
I want to ask you this question. Think about this during the break. How many years would you give the Bulls to win 17 postseason games? Not playing, postseason. I said they won't do it by 2027. I just made a bet with him. 312-332-3776. Barstool Big Cat at 4.